or Brother George, oh, send it to you. Okay, so let me do that again. Didn't see you sitting back there. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. We want to go a different direction this morning and just feel led of the Holy Spirit to do that. And don't really know, honestly, how much right now. We say a lot of times we're going to teach on something and felt like we had exhausted it and felt like we should move on. And so that's what I felt like in my heart. And the Lord just began to pull me in this direction. And so today may just be an overview. But I just titled this on the PowerPoint, and I'll title this Sunday School today, The Seventh Church Age. The Seventh Church Age. And I subtitled it, The Study for the Ages. And we'd like to look at that. We may not even get to that. In fact, I'm pretty sure we won't get to the Seventh Church Age today. And just this begin to explode on me. And so we wanted to do an overview of the ages. And so we just felt led to do that. And so maybe today we'll just do an introduction and then move on from there. And maybe never know how many Sunday schools the Lord would have us. Maybe we'll just cover the seventh age, which is the age that we're living in. And we may finish. I don't know. So we'll just trust the Lord. Amen. We'd like to look at this today. In Revelation chapter 3, we'll just begin reading at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Like I said, we won't get to probably the seventh church age today. I brought my church age book, and I'm sure all of you received this book. Amen. Got that as a gift to each family. I think each family in the church got it. And so just is a real good book there, and real good formatting that they did on that, real easy to read. My church age book was torn up and written, just underlined notes, and so I won't do that to this one maybe, but it's a lot nicer. But I took a lot of the things and the quotations that we're going to be speaking of, is all of the things that we're going to be speaking of will be rehearsing or rehashing a lot of what we as believers know already. And I believe that we are message believers, and so we understand the message. But sometimes some of these things need to be re-stirred up by way of remembrance. And I think it's a good time right now to do that. I believe it's real important to not just say that you believe the message, but to understand what you actually believe, what you're a part of. And so we'd like to just take some simple things, and I'll say a lot of the things that I'll say today you've heard before, maybe say them in a little bit different way, and just to give you an overview of the church ages, because they were very important. But really, you can't just jump straight into the church ages. You got to sort of go the roundabout way and get the bird's eye view to understand why Brother Branham would be commissioned to teach on the seven church ages, to understand what the ages were and in relation to where we're at today. I took a lot of my material, I thought it was put together really well, and a good resource, you may write this down, a good resource that I found is the WilliamBranhamHomepage.com, WilliamBranhamHomepage.com. And I put that out there not lightly, but I've vetted who the person is who put it out there, and it's all good, really good, very basic, very simple. But the overview and the layout of the brother who did it was just, I thought, was awesome, was real clear, super, super clear and easy to understand. And so we hear a lot of statements in the message. We hear a lot of things that preachers say. We say a lot of things. And we want to make sure that they're not just powerless cliches and sayings, but we understand what we mean when we say them. And I believe a lot of these truths we have, God can make them valuable. If they're not valuable to you right now, God can make them valuable. And maybe they've lost their value. God can bring them out and take the tarnish and rub out the smudge from them and shine them up again. Amen. And so that's what the Lord did for me. The first thing we'd like to say is we're without a doubt in the seventh church age. There's no question about that. The prophet of God makes it very clear. Though there's been unclarity about it, and ministers, even different ministers who would have a different teaching than this, it's not according at all to the message. And I don't lightly say that. I say that very seriously, that we have clear teaching, clear understanding. The things in the message are very clear. To be understood, and it's very clear we're in the seventh church age, and we'll get to that in the second part of this. Very clear we're not in the eighth age. This isn't an eighth age. This is the seventh age, and we're still part of it. You're still part of the Laodicean church age. We do understand that in that age there was a church, a bride, called out of a church, not out of a church age, out of a church. In the Pentecostal age, which started in 1906, God was through with them and said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So when you read Revelations 3 and you read about the seven church ages, don't just focus on the lukewarm church. Don't just focus on the rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. That is a large part of the message to Laodicea. But don't forget, there's also a portion that speaks about the overcomer. Amen. And that's my part, and that's your part in this seventh and final church age. I'm glad it's the final one, aren't you? The messenger God would send, as he sent in every single age, to each age God would send a messenger, and we see that in Revelations, and as I said, we'll get to this and bring you some more scriptures as we want to do it as a teaching, the teaching in the Bible, and we're going to do that, I promise, more clear the next time the Lord will allow us. But the messenger God would send, I would say, first off, God being omniscient, let me say this, God wasn't just randomly figuring this out. He didn't just say, okay, I'm going to let time play out, and as it goes, I'll make the best decisions, you know, sort of ad lib and sort of just throw it in there as I see conditions change. I'll improvise. That wasn't at all what God was doing. But God knew exactly before he ever allowed time to begin. God knew what he was doing before time ever began on earth. He knew exactly how he was going to accomplish the purpose that he had. And in that, he knew exactly who he would use to accomplish that purpose. Amen. He knew in each age who he would raise up with a certain gift, but not only a certain gift, a certain personality, born in a certain family, under certain conditions, under a certain culture. God designed the messenger for every age specifically for that time period that they were living in. And so that's why he could say in Jeremiah, and as we have here the scripture here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So before Brother Branham was born, God had already ordained him. God had already called him. God had already seen him. He didn't look at a certain quality and go, aha, that's my man. God put those qualities in him because he was his man. And he made him a certain way. And so before the foundation of the world, the works were already finished. As it even says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, and the Bible says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished, notice this part of the verse, although the works were finished before the foundation, from the foundations of the world. And so God had a plan. God had a purpose. And he had a pattern that he would follow, which would carry out, that pattern would carry out his plan and his purpose. And God is an unchanging God. That's real clear. He's unchanging. We change, but God doesn't change. And so he always, being that he's unchanging, he always sticks to his pattern. He always sticks to his purpose. And so he sticks to his plan. He doesn't change his plan. He sticks to his plan. And sending a prophet messenger has always been, from the very beginning of the Bible, Amen. God's plan. Yeah. It wasn't a plan he started in 1946 when he gave Brother Branham a commission that he would circle the earth with the healing revival. Long before God did that, he already had a pattern in place that he would reveal his word to his prophets. And that's in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. I'm sure you could quote that verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, except but that which he reveals to his servants, the prophets. And so we see here that Brother Branham's national ministry started and began in 1946. And so he receives a visitation from an angel on May the 6th in 1946, and he obeys that, and his international ministry started. Prior to this, he was only known in Kentucky, Indiana, just a few states. But an angel visits him, an angel from the presence of God, Brother Branham calls him, commissions him to take a message of divine healing to the world. And so God gives him the gift. He gives him the sign in the hand. He gives him the secrets to the people's heart, and it was fulfilling this divine commission. And so he would come, though, later in his ministry, and this is what's very important. You have to understand when you're reading the message, and whether it's, and especially the year you're reading from, is that you're reading an all-encompassing overview of the ministry of this seventh messenger as it became clear to him. Because when he first receives his commission, for all he knows, his commission, his ministry, which his ministry is his purpose, his ministry is strictly to go through the world and bring a healing campaign and heal diseases and raise the dead and cast out devils. That's what he thought his ministry was. But in 1955, he would come to understand by a vision that this commission would include not just a healing revival, but he would have a first pull, he would have a second pull, and he would have a third pull to his ministry. And so in 1955, he receives a vision of that first and second pull, and you, I'm sure, have heard Brother Branham speaking about that. And he understands, he comes to understand that his first and second pull was only sent, strictly only, wasn't sent to bring healing, wasn't sent to raise the dead. Those miracles and signs were sent to attract the crowd, the people, to bring in the rainbow trowel for the third pull, which would be the message. So the message wasn't raising the dead, it wasn't healing the sick, it wasn't miracles, it wasn't speaking squirrels into existence. Those squirrels spoke into existence. Hattie Wright's salvation of her two boys. All of the things that Brother Branham received were pointing to what? The opening of the word, a change in my ministry. And so the first and second pull, as he comes to understand in the 1955 vision, it was just to attract the attention of the people to the third pull, which the third pull is synonymous with the opening of the word, the revelation. You say, Brother Matt, what is the opening of the word? It sounds really, really cool when I say it, but what does it mean? You know, I don't just want it to be a powerless cliche of something I say. What is the opening of the word? It's very simple. It's the mysteries, the opening of the mysteries that were contained in the seven seals. Found in Revelations chapter 5 and in Revelations 10, 1 through 7. Very clear, very easy to understand. So Brother Branham refers to this later in his ministry. He refers to the opening of the word as his commission. I know we're going real fast and all these things, you know, and we probably won't get to much by the end of the Sunday school lesson today, if anything, just to do an overview, but I feel it'll set a good stage for the next Sunday school that we do. And so we see here before the opening of the seals, as we said, his ministry was even unfolding to himself. And that's important to understand, lest you read certain quotes and certain things that he says with a partial understanding and you think that's what the message is or that's what he meant. We could use many case and points to illustrate that, but we won't take the time. So when we hear the message, you're seeing the development of the understanding of not only who he was, but his purpose and his ministry. And so in obedience to the commission, as he has in the pamphlet, I was not disobedient to the heavenly, to the vision. Brother Branham in 1946, as the angel told him, he takes his ministry around the world and he has a campaign manager. And we read about this, and he goes around the world and he accrues a debt of $15,000, and God takes him off the field and he goes back to Jeffersonville. He works a job and starts to try to pay off that debt, and it's all for God's purpose to bring him out of that healing revival and bring him to his real commission, the opening of the word. And so he takes that, and in that healing revival, Christians from poor and rich heard him preach and were prayed for him. And even in a magazine snippet, it said that the common people heard him gladly. They heard this Kentucky hillbilly. And so for 7 years, from 1946 until 1953, and that's important, for 7 years, the world witnesses a manifestation. Don't forget what came in this age. It was an impact that still lasts today from the ministry that God gave him just through the healing campaign. It has an effect that is lasting to today, 2017. And so for 7 years, from 46 to 53, the world witnessed a manifestation of the power of Almighty God that they hadn't seen or witnessed since the days of Abraham and the days of Jesus. And so it comes in this last time, and the manifestation and the power of the healing and the miracles no one had seen since the Old Testament. You know what it was doing? It was making people go, wow, this is what it was like to live in Bible days. This is what it felt like to live in the days of Jesus. This is what it would have felt like if I was walking on the shores of Galilee of Jesus. And so now it had returned to a Gentile dispensation, to a Gentile church, to forerun the second coming of the Lord. And so Brother Branham refers to this 7 years of the supernatural signs and healings and miracles. He refers to it as God's memorial. And he says this statement in Israel and the church: I believe the Lord is fixing now the reason he brought me out of the field and set me down. I believe it's his memorial. 7 years. He's going to raise up another bracket or go to another level. Go on a little further. And so this was a direct parallel to the ministry of Jesus and his changing ministry. When he comes on the scene, his ministry is miracles, signs, and wonders. And you can read it in the Bible, and multitudes followed and they chased after the signs. And he later rebukes them and says, you seek, unless you have a sign, you seek a sign. And it was because that was his first pull to even the ministry of Jesus. But then he has a change, a transition, just like Jesus, the prophet of God, had a transition in his ministry to move him off the field from healing into the opening of the word. And Jesus has this same exact transition when he comes on the scene, and then his ministry changes, and he says, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you'll have no part with him. The Bible says many that walked with him no further. And he looks to the disciples and said, would you go also? Where would we go, Lord? Yeah. For thou alone have the words to eternal life. So there's a transition. There's a moving further. There's, as the prophet of God says, he uses it for a memorial, but now it's time to go further. And so something happens in his ministry, and wherein in the past, Brother Branham had a campaign manager who would organize his meetings. They would organize the tent revivals, and they would go from city to city to city. Now, through that transition, now the prophet of God himself begins to move into scheduling his own meetings and taking invitations, and he begins to teach, and that's what they didn't like. They said, no, you're called to heal. You're not called to teach. You're called just to stand up and you know, for hours in a prayer line and to raise the dead. That was your commission, because they weren't called to see it. Simply, that's the only reason why. They walked with him no further. Notice that in Jesus, it doesn't say that they turned away to Lucifer. It just says that they continued walking. They just didn't walk with Jesus, the Word, anymore. And so now he begins the preaching and teaching on the Word. And from 1953 to 1960, he begins to teach on doctrines in the Bible. And in 1960 to 62, he takes that even deeper, and he preaches on the church ages. He preaches on adoption. He preaches on Daniel 70 weeks and prophecy, Israel, and prophecy. And he begins to take these biblical teachings. And what's it doing? It's the Lord leading him up. It's everything leading him up to the opening of the Word. Amen. Leading him up to the regular commission, the revealing of the seven seals. And so he comes to this, and I want to make sure I don't miss this. There we go, the church ages. And so this series on this church age book is very important. As we said, in that period, he teaches this, and it's not just, it's very important. It's extremely important. In fact, I'm going to read you some quotations, and we'll just take the last few minutes just to read some of these quotations. And I put them there. It may seem like a lot of reading, but I wanted to bring emphasis to you, see how important this book is. And so this series on the ages is very significant. It's very significant to understanding the message today. And so it's a chronological order of time through the ages. And it doesn't just encompass the messengers and the ages. It also covers all the doctrines that we believe. The Godhead, water baptism, the original sin. All of these things are covered and spoken about in this book. And so all of these things, Brother Branham, in the introduction to this book, Brother Branham says, through this volume, though this volume will concern itself with various major doctrines such as the Godhead, water baptism, etc., found in Revelation. Read these very, very close here. He says, though it will concern very major doctrines such as the Godhead, water baptism, found in Revelation chapter 1 through 3, its main theme is setting forth of a detailed study of the seven church ages. This is necessary. Remember that. And if you read the church age book, you'll see why. This is necessary in order to study and understand the rest of the revelation. For out of the ages comes the seals. And out of the seals comes the trumpets. And out of the trumpets comes the vials. So out of the seals, out of the ages came the seals. Like the first burst of a Roman candle, the church ages come forth with a mighty initial illumination without which there could be no further light. But once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation. So this isn't a newspaper. And if you try to read it that way, I promise you'll get about three sentences and your brain will go poof. But it's by divine revelation. Amen. So it's not by understanding. It's not just by intellect. But he says it's given by divine, once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation, then light upon light follows. Until the whole of the revelation opens wide before our wondering eyes, and we, edified and purified by its Spirit, are made ready for his glorious appearing, even our Lord and Savior, the one true God, Jesus Christ. So how many here, just by reading this quote, how many could say, I want to have the revelation open before my eyes, the whole revelation? Amen. Well, then how do you get it? Light upon light has to come, and it's got to start right here. That's what the prophet says. And so he says, I've noticed, now this is in another place here, in the church ages. I've noticed these comments. I've noticed on each one of these openings, there has been a tremendous thing happen. Each one of these openings. And as we preach the seven church ages, they were so perfectly until the Holy Spirit himself come down among us and vindicated it and put it on the papers and throwed it across the nation and showed it in the moon, in the heaven, and proved it to us weeks and months before it happened. That's just the way, that way it would be perfectly. And so if you open this book here, you're going to find a picture of the eclipse that happens when the Pope visits Israel. And so, and notice Brother Branham speaking about this. He says, months and months before it happened, God vindicates it. And he says, here in the tabernacle, he made it known. On the moon and the sun, he made it known. And in the position of the nations at this time, he made it known. As the hierarchy of Rome left and went back to Palestine, supposedly had been the first pope since. They claimed Peter being the pope. Now it was so tremendous. Me, not knowing what I was drawing on the board for the church ages, God knows. Just by vision, I drawed it, not knowing that God, a year and 6 months later, was going to vindicate it in the skies by the moon and slip it across the national papers. Amen. So he takes a chalkboard and he writes out the picture that we have, and I wish I would have put it on the screen, picture that we have of the seven-branch menorah candlestick in each age. And each being a circle, and each drawing in a little shade of black, showing the darkness of that age. And Brother Branham said, me not even knowing, year and 6 months later, God would have an eclipse. And if you look at that clip, how each stage, it paralleled those seven church ages. Yeah. Brother Branham said, what was it? It was just God declaring, echoing what he said on earth in heaven. And so he was going to vindicate it across the size of the moon, slip it across national papers. I didn't know that. I didn't know there'd be a mysterious blackout in the moon to represent this Laodicean age. Now, on the papers, pictures, and of the eclipse, you only get the six ages. It's because the Laodicean church was blacked out completely. And if you notice the spiritual application, as God set it in the heaven, when I set it here on earth, I left a little bitty space, you see, just a tiny little bit of light that was just before the very elected was to be called from the earth. The reason I placed it on there for the seventh age, but when God put it in the heavens, it was totally blocked out. Means maybe the last one is called from that Laodicean age. We don't know. There could be a sermon on it. So what happens? Brother Branham sees this. And remember, when you're looking at this picture of Laodicea, the blackness, Brother Branham covers it in black. Says there's just a little bitty sliver of light. But remember, you're in time. Right now, you're living in the Laodicean church age. That cup is getting, every single day that you live, it gets blacker and blacker and blacker and blacker. You started this age, it wasn't all the way black with a little sliver of light, but it's gotten darker. You say, why is the world getting worse? Because that little circle is getting darker and darker till there's just a little sliver of light. The last seed comes in and called, and then God takes us home. Amen. I have just a few more. See, the Bible, that's not just someone trying to press something to you, but to reveal to you the very, notice, this is very good. I don't want to miss this. We'll close on this. See, the Bible, this is just not someone trying to press something to you, but to reveal to you the very spiritual application of this hour. And then the next message, what's the next message? The next series after the church ages is the seven seals. That opened up the seven seals, which undone all the hidden mysteries of the Bible, the doctrines and so forth, which the world so rudely attacks nowadays, attacks it and says it's wrong. Let's stand to our feet. We're out of time. Amen. We'll continue this the next time. I hope I whetted your appetite. Amen. To this seven church age book. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your direction this morning. Thank you for your wisdom, Lord. Father, we thank you for this little time we've had together, Lord. Father, just to review some of the great things you've done for us in this age that we're living. May you bless this service, the songs that are sang, Lord, the worship that's given, Father, to your holy name. May you receive it, Lord, we ask. Bless this day, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.